Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Inner Being's Wisdom Wednesday. And Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live here on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central here on Crowdcast. And that way you too can become part of the conversation and dialogue that happens after our musings. Whether you're here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, our gratitude for your presence and loving kindness. Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is not knowing more. Wisdom is, in fact, knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And Wisdom Wednesday is created as an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotions, your senses, your imagination. Yes, we're talking about to open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of the heart and of human consciousness. Today, we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations, and each one will be followed by a minute of silence where you are invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. These are our watchwords. Resonate. Does something connect with you? Do you feel it? It might be symbolized by a word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect. An opportunity to meditate with images and thoughts. Respond. You can respond by journaling, by prayer. You can even respond by body movement. And rest, to simply just be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. After that, we will close with the spiritual practice and a group dialogue. And today's theme is lamentation. A little bit of what we heard spoken about in the opening video. So with an open heart and a calm, centered presence, a gentle breath, simply relax and just begin to listen with the ear of your heart. We are meeting reality, and prophets have honored the deep public grief of lamentation. They honor it as holy prayer. And the work of prophets is to warn, to caution. It will be the end of the world as you know it, unless you rethink your current assumptions, values, and priorities, unless you become ready to change your way of life. Well, and who doesn't want you to feel that grief? Who wants you to accept your new reality and surrender to it forever? Your oppressors, those who profit from your compliance, those who want you to be happy and well-adjusted drones in their system. They don't want you to feel your own pain. And the prophets warn us, and too few of us listen. When the inevitable consequences come, the prophets invite us to let our opportunity pass by without being named, mourned, and lamented. You see, contemplation is meeting all the reality we can bear. That's why the prophets invite us not to let our opportunity pass by without being named, mourned, and lamented. And to help us meet and bear reality, the prophets say, mourn privately and lament publicly. Feel the surge of divine grief, the groaning of the Holy Spirit deep within you, and let those groans of loss become the groans of labor, so a better world can be born from our failure, beginning with a better you who is still capable of seeing and feeling and meeting all the reality we can bear. We need honest, profound prayer, and lamentation or grief work is almost completely overlooked by the Christian tradition because it's usually not thought of as prayer at all. Have you ever been in a church setting where there was communal lament? Lamentation prayer is when we sit and speak out to God and one another, stunned, sad, and silenced by the tragedy and absurdity of human events. It might actually be the most honest form of prayer. It does take great trust and patience. It's actually profound prayer. And for some reason, we resist suffering the necessary pain of this world, the necessary sadness of being human. Thus, we quickly resort to praise and thanksgiving, even when it is often dishonest emotion. No mistake, lamentation does not make us weak or helpless or vulnerable. Lamentation is not a lack of faith. Remember, blessed are those who mourn. God consoles us. And in our lamentation, we find a peace, even a joy that we didn't know was possible. So let us find a calm center, take a breath, and take a moment to resonate, reflect, respond, rest. For Christians, they often look to the stories of Jesus for help. And in Lamentation, we can look to that one of those stories. Jesus wept, and in his weeping, he joined himself forever to those who mourn. He stands now throughout all time, this Jesus weeping, and his arms all about the weeping ones. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He stands with the mourners, for his name is God with us. Yes, Jesus wept. Blessed are those who weep, for they shall be comforted. Someday God will wipe the tears from Rachel's eyes. In the godforsaken, obscene quicksand of life, there is a deafening alleluia rising from the souls of those who weep, and of those who weep with those who weep. And if you watch, you will see the hand of God putting the stars back in their skies one by one. And we are called to learn the anguished cry of lament. Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right, but Lord, I must confess I'm weak now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage. Now I am afraid. I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. The cry of lament is passed down in music, and I'm not a singer. But sometimes I feel like a motherless child a long way from home. And lament is the cry of the psalmist of Israel in exile. Where are you, Lord? Why are you taking so long? The poor are being crushed. The wicked are winning. Don't you see it? And lament is not despair. It's not whining. It's not a cry into a void. Lament is a cry directed to God. It is the cry of those who see the truth of the world's deep wounds and the cost of seeking peace. It is the prayer of those who are deeply disturbed by the way things are. The journey of reconciliation is grounded in the practice of lament. I wonder where that is in many of our nonviolent strategies. So friends, reject soothing words and can't we all just get along sentiments. Take seriously the rupture and the wounds of this world, as well as the deep cost of seeking healing. Lament is a protest against the world as it is and the brokenness that seems so inevitable. And so allow the truth to shake you to the very core. And in silence, we can resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. I can't help but imagine that even some of you are criers or weepers. You may even cry just because somebody else is weeping. And now we have seen across the ocean a school shooting again that mimics what we have seen in the United States. It's enough to weep at. And weeping is a mode of being that relinquishes need to be in control. It's the mode of weeping, of crying, is really different than the mode of fixing. It's even different than understanding. And that's why we often cry when we forgive. I've given up trying to make rhyme or reason or blame or who's right or who's wrong. And when we go to the place of tears, it's an inner attitude where when I can't fix it, when I can't explain it, when I can't control it, when I can't even understand it, I can only forgive it. Let go of it, weep over it. That's a different mode of being. And grief is a cruel kind of education because you learn how ungentle mourning can be, how full of anger. You learn how much grief is about the failure of language and the grasping for language. And this is an affliction not merely of the spirit, but of the body, of aches and lagging strength. Flesh, muscle, organs, they're all compromised. No physical position is comfortable. And this embodied experience of the weeping mode is that in which no attempts to fix or move on will do. But the power of lament is to speak the truth that all is not well. It doesn't matter if someone else denies it or does not support it. It is to speak the truth that all is not well. And lament is the counter to denial. Lament is prophetic speech. Lament bears faithful witness to all that is not right with the world and to all that is not right with ourselves. And we can learn a lot from the land, nature. Take the land's mourning seriously. Ask about its grief and wonder what truth the land's grief speaks to us. The land's lament speaks a foundational ecological truth. When one part of creation goes awry, the whole suffers. And the land grieves at what people have done to the fundamental reality of our interconnection. Surgeon General has just been talking about how even loneliness has become a serious health crisis in our nation, America. And our lives are held, they're connected one to the other and all to God. We are bound up in a beautiful, multicolored, homespun fabric, and that fabric is the ecological and theological truth of our deeply interconnected, interdependent, interbeing, and relational world. The land's mourning speaks simultaneously of a vision of the world as it ought to be, that beautiful fabric. And it speaks of the truth as the world as it is, too much injustice. The fabric that connects all of creation is badly torn. It's torn by manifold injustices wrought and perpetrated by the exploitive systems in which we live. It's torn by ideologies of scarcity that teach us to love too narrowly and too little. mourning together in true solidarity, we name the truth of what's wrong. And in so doing, we have made the beginning to make it right. So in the silence, lament, cry, weep. Friends, I want to share with you a practice of lamentation. Hopefully something you can practice in the coming week or even weeks to come. A lamentation nurtures resilience. And prayers of lamentation arise in us when we sit and speak out to God and one another with that stunned, sad, and silenced by the tragedy and absurdity of human events. Without this, we don't suffer the necessary pain of this world, the necessary sadness of being human. One of my favorite scripture teachers, Walter Brueggemann, right, points out that even though about one-third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament, that they've actually been the least used by Catholic and Protestant liturgies. Because we think they make us appear weak and helpless and vulnerable or show a lack of faith. So we quickly resort to that praise and thanksgiving. And I don't know why, but we have forgotten that Jesus called weeping a blessed state. Matthew 5:5. And there is a book of the Bible named after that, right? Jeremiah's Book of Lamentation. And in today's practice, it comes from Reverend Aaron Graham, and he reflects on the elements found in the prayers of lament. So I hope that you'll find in his words and in the text of Psalm 22 a way to voice your own complaints, your own requests, and trust in God who is always waiting to hear. And I'd like to remind you all, and we need to remind each other, that our cries are not too much for God. God cries with us. God laments with us. And in fact, God wants us to come to the divine presence in our anger, in our fear, in our loneliness, in our hurt, and in our confusion. So when we look at these Psalms of Lament, each lamenting psalm has a structure. They begin with a complaint that things are not as they should be. And then they turn to a request, God, do something. Rescue me, heal me, restore me, show mercy. And then laments end with an expression of trust. So complain, request, trust. And then lament ends with the reminder that God is setting things right, even though it often seems so slow. Sometimes it seems too slow. And it is right for our laments to turn towards a reminder that God is in control and God is about the business of righting all things made wrong. So you can consider praying these words that are found in Psalm 22, or you can choose another passage of lament. And before you pray, ask God to speak to you. And this is from Psalm 22, verses 1 through 5. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. If you, they trusted and were not put to shame. We are about to enter into dialogue here in the Crowdcast session, so we say goodnight to our friends and podcast and YouTube world, and we hope you'll join us one Wednesday to become part of the dialogue. So as you cry this week, continue to remember that love is the way, that you are love. So stay awesome, stay crying, and be love. And hope to see you again soon.